Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Jumping Monkeys is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Jumping Monkeys with Megan Maroney and Leo Laporte, episode 7 for July 15th, 2007, Cafe Mom. Jumping Monkeys is proudly brought to you by Audible.com for your free audiobook. Some great kids' books, too. Visit audible.com/monkeys. It's Jumping Monkeys number 7. Wow.
We should mark this. You never thought we'd get this far, did you?
We're preteen. No, I knew we'd get this far.
Let's aim for 100.
That's you know, I think there's no question we'll get that far. This is a great, fun podcast. The response has been very good. We like all the email we get, and every time I meet people, they say, I listen to the podcast. Even people who don't have kids listen to the podcast. But the other thing that I've noticed is a lot of people are having kids. Maybe it's like when you get a new car and everybody's driving that car.
Yeah. There are a lot of geeks are having kids.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like, I'm not going to say names.
No.
But there are 3 people on the TWiT network who are having babies.
You shouldn't even say anymore because you are not very good at keeping secrets.
I'm terrible.
You kept the secret. Actually, you and Sarah Lane were one of the first 2 people that I told that I was pregnant, and you both kept the secret, even from each other. And because you didn't know,
I didn't know that she knew, and she didn't know that I knew.
Wow. So you are good. I'm just saying.
No, I'm not good at secrets, but that's one secret I think is a good one to keep. That's such an exciting and momentous occasion when you announce that you're pregnant, that or engaged or to get married. Those are. I don't want to steal the thunder on that.
Right.
You know, if you had a new computer, I'd tell the world.
Yeah.
If you design a new laptop. No, but right. That's good. So, yeah, so I won't say any more, but yeah, I mean, this is...
Did they make you sign an NDA, these people?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember who is it public and who isn't public.
Yeah.
But so that, rather than remembering that, I'm just not going to say, but it's 3 people who appear regularly on TWiT. But my point is, and also, they're all a little bit older parents.
Mm.
And so I think that that's also a demographic trend we're seeing. Geeks who are in their 30s, some of them even in their 40s, having kids.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
Yeah. Web 2.0.
Although we're going to talk in a little bit to a cafe or club mom.
Cafe mom.
And, well, you'll see. I get a little chastened by my assumptions about the ages of moms.
You did. Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
I made an assumption.
Yeah.
Fallacious assumption.
People can have kids at a very young age.
Not as young as
your daughter.
That's exactly what's going on here, you understand, is that yes. I'm in denial.
You're the father of a teenager. It's okay for you to be scared when someone says that.
I think you have to be 30 to have a child, don't you? I think that's the...
Yes.
That's what I'm telling Abby.
I was 30.
There you go. See? Mm-hmm. I knew that.
Yeah.
I knew that. So let's take a look at some links, and then we'll get to Cafe Mom.
Yeah. We're going to start off every show with a spend, save, give segment. One way to spend your money, one way to save your money, and one way to... give back.
Sometimes related.
Yeah, maybe.
Sometimes not.
Or not. let's start with the spend because that is the most fun. This is something that was recommended by Kyle Dutton, who is a listener, and it's called Plio.
Plio.
Have you heard of the Plio?
You know, I probably heard about it the same way Kyle did because it's kind of all over the internet.
Yeah.
There's a YouTube video and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah, it's not released yet.
That's the thing, is nobody has it.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's cool. It's a robot dinosaur.
Remember the Sony dog? What was that dog's name? It was really expensive. And this is just kind of the next generation. And you know they're going to get better and better and better.
Yeah.
So you want to hear? Let's take a look at Plio.
Yeah, this is the marketing video, but it's still cool.
And this is Plio.
Hi, Plio.
Plio is a baby dinosaur. Well, actually, he's a 2-week-old Camarasaurus sauropod or long-necked dino. Plio is alive in every way that we could make him. He senses the world like we do. He feels and shows emotions. And he learns and changes over time.
He's just a rubber Furby.
I think it's pretty cool.
He does. He's highly articulated.
Yeah.
He shakes hands. He moves around. I mean, you'll see in the video, it actually has a lot of behaviors.
Ibo.
Ibo, thank you.
it was driving me crazy. And I don't even have a computer in front of my head. That was just my head thinking, what was that robot dog?
Ibo. Okay, yeah. For extra points, Ibo had a dog.
A dog had a dog?
No, it wasn't a dog. Ibo had a puppy.
Really?
I think there's a puppy
know.
Ibo.
No. Yeah, this is cool. It's going to be $200. Which
see, Ibo was
pricey.
A lot more.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ibo was that.
It's less than, it's less than the Ibo, more than the Furby. I don't know. It's, it's.
And more than the, there's these kind of, like the Wowie Robo Sapien, mm-hmm. which is under $100, like $80.
Yeah.
But it's really just like some behaviors. This one looks like it actually kind of pays attention to the environment and it walks, which, it's.
Would Henry think this was still cool? Or?
No.
No. Yeah. See, my kids would not think it's as cool as it is yet. I mean, they think,
we're
a little
getting
tiny
there.
Dollar plastic dinosaur is cool. But
right.
This, So
well, your imagination is so much more vivid.
Somewhere in between the ages of 4 and 12.
It plays peekaboo, shakes hands, speaks. Should we hear it speak?
Yeah.
I don't know what this is. Wow, that's very realistic. It's doing lay down, which actually should be lie down, but okay.
This is by Ugobi. Did you say that?
That's it speaking. I really have to see one of these. You'd have to, it might be very cool.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell just from watching the video.
Yeah, we have the link to the video on jumpymonkeys.com, and you can also just search YouTube for Pleo, P-L-E-O.
PC Magazine actually had one for review, and so this is on the desk at PC Magazine. There's no audio with this, but you can see. First of all, it's a little bigger than you would think. It's about the size of the Ibo, and he's moving around pretty good.
Yeah.
It's kind of neat.
That looks like our conference room at Tech TV.
I think it was. Yeah, and apparently they couldn't, being PC Magazine, they couldn't figure out how to put any audio on the,
right.
on the track. But they do have a high-pitched whine,
Yeah.
Can you hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So can everybody under 18. They're all in pain right now. I don't know. I don't know if that's, anyway.
Yeah. All right. Should we move on now that we've spent $200 on a toy that our kids may or may not like? Should we move on to the save segment?
The thing that intrigues me about this is that this is still early days. In 10 or 15 years, our grandkids will have actual robots that really behave like, they're alive.
That, like dinosaurs.
It's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's save some money.
This is called mygrocerydeals.com, and I found it at Thrifty Mommy, thriftymommy.com.
Now, sometimes when you say save, it really is a spend. For instance, remember the Amazon subscribe thing?
Yeah, subscribe and save.
I'm getting big bales of toilet paper. I got detergent. I got everything coming in the mail. Big boxes.
Yeah.
And that, but it's.
Did
I guess
you tell Jennifer that you were doing this, or
no,
is she also going to the grocery store and buying detergent and toilet paper?
We collaborated on this one. I said, "Hey, Jennifer, Megan told me about this really cool thing Amazon does. It saves you money, and you subscribe. And I'm already an Amazon Prime member, so the shipping is free anyway,
right?
And it's 2-day shipping.
Yeah.
So I don't know how environmentally friendly it is, but maybe it is. I don't know.
You can get a lot of environmentally friendly products. Like
there's
seven,
a lot of seventh generation
stuff.
So I'm getting a lot of stuff. It sure is convenient to have that just appear at your door.
Yeah. I think it's convenient.
Yeah, I love
you're not
it.
Driving, so then you're saving the gas.
So this is going to save us money on groceries?
Yes. It's you go there. You sign up for a free account. You give them your zip code, obviously, because they're going to search the grocery stores in your area. And so what they do is they skim all the sales at your local grocery store.
Is this like coupons?
Yeah. Well, they don't tell you what's on sale, so you don't even need the coupons. So, you put in your zip code and you see Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, Safeway, Albertsons, all the grocery stores you might shop at. And you can see, if I need milk, this is where it's cheapest. If I need, and then you just
They even have Whole Foods.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or Whole Paycheck, as we call it here in Petaluma.
And, and then you just click on a shopping list, everything you want to buy, and then you can print it out and just go to, those grocery stores or you can make
now
I'm
gonna get regular updates from mygrocerydeals.com. I just signed up.
You did?
Yeah.
When was the last time you were in the grocery store, Leo?
I go to the grocery store. You may want to visit Coupon Clicker and Nutrino. So they have other sites too.
Yeah.
So now what's gonna happen? I'm gonna get in my mail, I'm gonna get coupon deals?
No, you go to the site and it will skim it for you and you can just look through.
Skim flyers, make a list.
Yeah, okay, so go to skim flyers.
I'm skimming the flyers now.
And then it'll show you all sales. So then,
Kashi.
Right.
Wait a minute. I could save 4 cents. Okay. Honest Tea, $1.29.
You know, if you, I mean, if you only buy things when they're on a sale, you end up saving a lot of
money. No, I think it's good. So this tells you what's on sale.
And then you, yeah, you click on it and it shows up on the right in that little box so you can, you know, make oh, it makes a list.
Oh, no, that's kind of neat.
It's very neat.
Oh, that's neat. All right, let's add that to the list.
There you know, I have a good friend who she runs her household, like, you know, she went to UT. I think she might have an MBA, but she runs her household like a Fortune 500 company, and that, you know, she's
got an MBA or something.
Yeah,
she knows what she's doing.
She did this thing called the grocery game where she had actually pay for, you know, to get these coupons in the mail, and I sent her this and she was amazed and excited about it.
Okay, that's good. So we have a really trained person.
Yes.
Look at 5 cases of Corona beer, $12 each. Now that's not a bad, wait a minute. 5 for $12. 5 cases for $12?
Maybe.
That can't be right. That can't. Wow. This is all right. Okay. You convinced me.
I sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is good.
I like it because I can never decide which grocery store to go to. And this
well, that's, yeah. Even though I said I'm going to be Whole Foods. Oh, I see what happened. I went to a different grocery store. So
right.
Whole Foods only had 10. Trader Joe's didn't have any deals, but Raley's has 147 deals.
Excellent.
So obviously some places are better to go than others,
right.
But you can combine these all into one list.
Yeah, because rather than I find myself going to the grocery store and I'm like, oh, well, you know, Cheerios are on sale. I guess right. I'll buy those. But like, that's maybe not what I really wanted to buy.
But. Well, this is really, I kind of seems silly, but I would say this is the promise of the internet mm-hmm. is friction-free commerce, is mm-hmm. getting the information to the consumers. And they can really become much more empowered instead
right.
of just being local. Well, I went to this, as you said, I went to the store, I had a coupon. Now you can really,
right.
can do all this.
Because you could buy groceries at Amazon or Safeway, but I don't
think
that's
economical.
Not for me. It's not,
yeah.
it's not, I don't, I like to go to the
grocery
store.
Did you ever use Peapod or any of the delivery services?
I used it.
Webvan.
And then I didn't like it. Webvan, that was the one I used.
That went out of business.
Yeah. I did use Webvan.
And then there was one that would deliver.
So Web 1.0.
It was so 1.0. It's like pets.com. Kitty litter by mail.
But I like to squeeze the fruit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I like to. It's actually fun to go to a grocery store,
yeah,
isn't it? I mean, it's probably not as much fun if you have to do it all the time. But
with 3 kids, it's not that much fun.
You spend
fun,
a lot of time.
But yeah.
Don't go with the kids.
Yeah. Just leave them at
home.
How
do you deal? Yeah. Don't you have a safe room that you can lock them in? Padded.
Yes.
There's ventilation.
No. Well, sometimes going to the grocery store is fun.
A little dispenser that they could push for food.
We love to go to Whole Foods because they have all the fruit that's free and we eat that. And then,
yeah. It's always good to go on the weekends because that's taster day.
Right.
And all the people are there giving you free tastes.
Yeah.
What are the rules on that? Are you allowed to go back?
Use a toothpick.
Yeah, that's rule number one.
Don't use the same toothpick.
No, double dipping.
No. I go back all the time.
You're allowed to have more than one.
I have 3 kids, so usually we take 6 pieces of fruit. One if I'm hungry.
And they don't look askance at you?
No. No.
They go,
and
go
Whole
ahead.
Foods has this new like Whole Foods Kids Club thing where I was like, what's that? And they said they'll give your kid some like a treat every time. You can pick out a treat that's under a few dollars or something.
Oh, that's
like that.
Neat.
Yeah. I haven't tried it out yet.
Petaluma Market used to give our kids a cookie. They go to the butcher counter.
Oh, yeah.
And have
we
these,
get a cookie.
Cookie.
Yeah, they still do that.
That's nice. I think that's a nice thing to do. And what does it cost them? And it makes mommy happy. And that's
right.
the most important thing.
Exactly.
Speaking of happy mommies.
Yeah, that Thrifty Mommy was where I found the grocery deals. It's a pretty cool site.
Oh, this is the same kind of thing?
Yeah, that's where I found my grocery deals. ThriftyMommy.com is all kinds
of- it's all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
Thrifty wedding cakes.
Yeah.
If you've got
it's
things turned around.
Mm-hmm.
Angela Jolie is thrifty. Her dress for the New York City premiere of A Mighty Heart Wednesday night? Thrift shop.
Oh.
Yeah. The crushed velvet dress came from a vintage store. $26.
Well, that makes sense because she's not, you know.
Is she anciente still?
Is that pregnant?
Yeah.
No. I just mean it makes sense.
She adopts
because
now,
she feels,
doesn't she?
Yeah. I mean, if you know, I guess it's more nice to.
Right.
I don't know if
you're,
you never know where your clothes are coming
reuse.
From.
Reuse.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready for the giving back time?
Oh, that was spend. Okay, we did buy. We did spend. I mean, save.
Yes.
Spend,
this
save.
Is
now
giving
we're
back
giving.
To the okay. community. This is cool. It's called rootsofempathy.org.
Oh, Racine de l'Empathie.
And this is a program in Toronto, but I don't know why it wouldn't work anywhere. They've done all this research to show that if you bring babies into elementary school classrooms, it will teach them empathy and emotional intelligence. So what they do, the moms volunteer
so
with their babies.
Great.
So throughout the school year, they go about 30 times. They take their baby to the school and they just, and the kids see how the mom and the baby are bonding.
What a cool thing.
Yeah, it makes it decreases violence.
It says it has a dramatic effect, reducing levels of aggression and violence among school children, while raising social emotional competence and increasing empathy. You know, we've always had Henry take care of younger kids.
Yeah, he's great.
He's really good as a result.
Yeah.
He is empathetic.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's really great.
I thought that was interesting.
And I think nowadays, maybe kids where they don't have large families and lots of younger siblings, they don't get exposed to babies by the time they're in first or second grade.
Right.
This would be a very good idea.
And I just think, yeah, I mean, I know a lot of moms who are looking for ways to volunteer with their baby, things they can do besides just go to the park every day. This is great. I mean, this is a program, like I said, in Toronto, and I know we have listeners in Toronto. So,
well, babies love big kids.
Yeah.
So, babies think it's so cool.
You could do this anywhere.
Wow, sure. This is great. And they have expert research on here and everything.
Yeah.
And the founder is Mary Gordon. She just won the Order of Canada for this.
Hmm.
That is really, really neat.
Yeah, rootsofempathy.org.
Rootsofempathy.org. You know what I've been doing? On Facebook, they have an application called Causes, where you can pick your charities, and I've picked six, and you can then invite your friends to join them. So you're encouraged to recruit and to kind of solicit. So most charities are on there. So kind of a neat way
to put
something like that onto a social network.
Yeah, that's the first I've heard of really any kind of thing like that in the social network.
Yeah, let me show you. This is my causes. And it shows you not only how many you've recruited, but how much money they've donated.
Oh, cool.
So one of them is Play Pumps International. I just love this idea. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
It's, you know, of course, one of the big problems, it seems so simple, but one of the big problems in the world is getting clean water to people in the poorer countries. What Play Pumps, the idea is to provide rural communities in sub-Saharan Africa with drinking water. They go in, they create a well, and they put a merry-go-round on top of it.
Oh.
And the kids play on the merry-go-round, and the merry-go-round pumps the water up from the well
into a
secure, clean 2,500-liter water tank, providing tap water for women and children drawing water. Isn't that a neat?
That is. So you could go, anybody can go to your Facebook and click on it and give money or read more
they could,
about it.
Or read more just, about it. Yeah. Or just go to Play Pumps International on the internet. But I just think this is such a neat idea. But see, 438 members on Facebook and $1,200 donated.
Wow.
Which I think is, I don't know how much each pump costs, but I think that's quite a few pumps.
And so you can see the people who donated?
You can.
That's cool, too.
Yeah, you know, on the one hand, I think it's kind of, you know, as the Bible said, you know, don't, whatever it is, don't
let the left hand see what the right hand's doing.
You know, it's kind of good to donate in privacy. Uh-huh. But at the same time, if it encourages others to do the same, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So I've raised $100, and I'm sure more to come.
Oh, cool. Like
I'm a number 5 on the list of fundraisers. Steve Case is doing better than me, though.
Oh, so you're a fundraiser. That's you've gotten
Steve
people.
Case has 25 recruits.
Wow.
He's the former CEO of AOL.
Yeah.
And the number one is Sean Parker. Anyway, I think that's a neat idea. And I love that charity, Play Pumps.
I don't have a Facebook, but maybe I need one for that reason.
You're not. I thought I made you.
You invited
friend.
Me, but then I
you didn't do anything.
I didn't. I don't know. I got distracted. Are you ready for our book pick?
Yeah, you know, we want to thank once again Audible.com is sponsoring this show and most of the TWIT podcasts, which is wonderful. We're really grateful to them for that. It's going to be a great relationship. Audible provides audiobooks. I know when you've ridden in the car with me, we used to commute to San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I would sometimes put a book on.
Yeah, we listen to a lot.
I'm a fanatic for Audible books. I've listened to, I should count, but I think well over 100 books. So what a great way to read.
Yeah, my dad loves it too. He's been listening to it.
That's great.
As long as
you download them, you put them on your iPod, but they have other devices. Almost any MP3 player you can put them on. I can even put them on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And there are many, many books. So I think we thought for this show, every show is picking books, but for this show, I think you want to do kids'
books.
Yeah,
yeah. I downloaded this from Audible, and we've been listening to it for, I think, about a year.
Same book.
Yeah, it's one.
See, what a deal.
It's one book. Yeah, we burned it on CD, so Annabella listens it, and now she's old enough. She has her own CD player in a room, and she puts her CD in there. And this is a, because kids' books, you know, how long would they take to read? Just like 3 or 4 minutes if you're not skipping the pages like I sometimes do.
Right.
But this is 4 books. It's Where the Wild Things Are.
Great.
Classic. We actually have your copy of Where the Wild Things Are.
Do you?
Mm-hmm. It was handed down to us.
Oh, I love that book.
Goldilocks and the Three Bears.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Dr. DeSoto.
Oh, I love Dr. DeSoto.
That
yeah.
is a great.
That's
and
the one where the fox has a toothache.
Yes. Yeah. And the reader's great. I don't know who it is, but An Owl Moon by Jane Yolen.
Oh, that's neat.
And what I like about this is it sort of slows down a little bit, especially at the end. So she listens to it when she's falling asleep. And Owl Moon's a really quiet
Jane
book.
Yolen reads that herself. It looks
yeah.
like. Yeah. And Peter Schickele reads one of them. He is, you know who he is? PDQ Bach. He's
yeah.
great. He's a musician who created this great
yeah.
humorous
yeah.
Bach, one of the Bach family, PDQ Bach. And he's very funny.
Yeah.
He must be great.
Yeah. It's
and Ian
great.
Thompson reads too.
And yeah. And, you know, Annabella has gone through a phase where the Wild Things Are was a little too scary for her, the way it's read and the music. So sometimes we skip that one. But at first she loved
it. We can play a little bit of it. Would you like
we
to
should,
hear a little
yeah.
bit of it? Yeah. This is, I'm not sure which one. Oh, it is scary.
It's a little scary when you're in bed by yourself.
Yeah.
But
Where the Wild Things Are.
But it should be a little scary because the book is a little
right.
like that. It's
yeah.
supposed to chill you a little
yeah,
bit.
I don't
yeah.
want to say, like, don't listen to it. It's too scary. It's no Shrek.
Now, Shrek's scary.
Well, I had a friend whose daughter, a friend of Annabella, she started crying in the middle of Shrek and had to leave. Because I told she wanted us to go. And I was like, I've heard it's kind of adult for little kids. And then she emailed me right after. She was like, you were exactly right.
We should start doing movie reviews.
Yeah.
We need a movie reviewer. If you're if you see a lot of kids' movies and you want to be
yeah.
kind of like, give us the lowdown from a kid point of view.
Right. We could have a few because different ages.
Right.
You know,
maybe a parent of a 4 year old.
Not too scary for
right.
your kids.
Parent of an 8 year old.
Right.
No, it's too young for my kids.
Yeah.
I want to see it.
I want to see it too.
Yeah.
I've heard that they have like the princess posse and I've heard they're really great.
I can't wait. Anyway, that's our book. It's Where the Wild Things Are, Goldilocks and the Three Bears, Dr. DeSoto and Owl Moon. Actually, if you do a search for Weston Woods, that's who does these, and you could find other Weston Woods stories. It's free. All you have to do is go to audible.com/twit, audible.com/twit, and sign up for Audible. You'll get the book right away. That's the other thing I liked about this. When I used to do cassettes, you'd have to wait for it to come, and you could only get it for a month. You can listen mm-hmm. to this time. You can take as long as you want. You own it, basically.
Yeah.
So I really just love Audible. audible.com/twit. Sign up today. I do have to say this is U.S. only, I'm sorry to say, but even if you're not a U.S. listener, this would be a nice... It's only $5.95. You could
yeah.
buy this on iTunes. And it's... I mean, this sounds really cute.
Yeah, it is. Highly recommend.
They also do The Biggest Bear, How Do Dinosaurs Get Well Soon, The Pig's Wedding, and Possum Magic.
The dinosaur series. Those are good.
Man, I want to be... I want more kids. I love these kids' books.
I will be sending mine over at approximately 5 p.m. today.
I don't mind reading to kids. I loved it. My kids don't let me do that anymore.
Oh,
that's
yeah,
the best thing in the world.
I know. Isn't it funny? Because like sometimes, you know, I'm just like reading the Eloise for the 50th time, and that's the best.
Right.
Like, Eloise, and I'm just so exhausted. And I finish reading, and I, you know, put Annabella to bed, and I think like, why was I rushing through that? Like,
I know.
This is not going to last forever. I
no.
really need to, you know.
Enjoy it. But I have to say, I would never get so tired as when I was reading to my kids.
Yeah.
I'd fall asleep before they did. I remember one time I just got into a fugue state. I was half asleep and I started saying strange things. And Abby was probably 7 or 8. She said, Dad, you know what? You just said the refrigerator ate the marshmallow and jumped off the, and I said, I'm sorry. I fell asleep. Anyway, this is actually these recorded books would be good for those of you who have a hard time staying awake. You
yeah.
could listen together.
Right. Or they're good for road trips too, or you
oh
know,
yeah. Saved my life on some road trips.
Yeah. All right, you ready for some links? Some more links?
You got some more links?
I got some more links.
I'm ready for s'mores.
This is a story I found on Boing Boing. I think there's a dad on Boing Boing. I've been finding some parenting sites. Is Mark?
Mark Fronfeld. There's
yeah,
a dad. In fact,
yeah.
we should have him on the
yeah.
show. He's got little kids.
Yeah.
He's great. We had him on Net at Night about a month ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, he's great.
Yeah.
I love him.
Yeah. So this was an interesting story about a baby monitor that's picking up video from NASA.
What?
The Associated Press reports that an elementary school teacher in Chicago, in a Chicago suburb, has been picking up video from NASA space mission.
You're kidding.
On her video baby monitor.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is interesting because the brand, they say what the brand is. I can't remember what it's called, but I had this baby monitor, summer infant. I had it, and it did not, it could not work from my living room to the baby's room.
But it never can get NASA video.
Yeah. And so, you know, they don't know why it's, but this is from inside Atlantis.
Wow.
And, you know, they also are broad, you can watch it on the web. It's not like secret stuff or anything. So they think it's might, they might be getting it, you know, picking up
some other way. They're not getting it from the space shuttle.
Right.
I'd be willing to bet. Maybe the neighbor's got like a big transmitter.
Maybe. But yeah, she brought it into school because her teacher friends did not believe her.
And they saw it.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty funny.
Wow. Well, first of all, I think it's interesting that baby monitors have video now because they didn't when I was
there. Yeah, yeah. We got one father. And it didn't work. It was always fuzzy, which is funny. Maybe it was, I was picking up NASA and that's why I just couldn't tell.
It must be strange when you go to look at your baby and instead you're seeing astronauts.
Yeah.
That must be an odd feeling.
I think she could see her baby on one channel and then see the astronauts on another channel.
What do you think? The first thought you must have was like, my God, this astronauts have kidnapped my baby.
Right. But they're both wearing diapers, right? So
that's true.
Yeah.
We know that now.
We know that now. All right. This was from the Wall Street Journal. Power trips for tots. This doesn't have very much to do with technology, but I just found it fascinating. I mean, we're at the stage where, like, my summer vacation is better than your summer vacation.
There's no point in bringing a four-year-old to a Brazilian rainforest.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
This is all an article about how vacations, family vacations, are becoming status symbols for parents. Yeah, it's fascinating. And especially
if you took them to the park and said, we're in the Brazilian rainforest, and came home, they would not know the difference.
Yeah, no. Yeah, this is funny.
And I could tell you, these are expensive trips.
And it's not even little kids either. I mean, this is a 10-year-old Amanda Johnston says, after you see the animals, it's not that exciting to see them again. This is, you know, for her parents travel to Tanzania.
Now you're scaring me. You know why?
Are you going?
We're going to Egypt.
You are? Well, your kids are older.
They're older now, 15 and 12, and there's a lot of 15, 16, 17-year-olds on this trip to see the pyramids. Don't you think that at that age, seeing the pyramids is a big deal? I hope it is. If I come back and Henry says, you see one pyramid, you see them all, I'm going to be really bummed.
This is more like extreme vacations, I think. They're talking about like scavenger hunts in the Thai market.
Oh, please. we're going to do New Year's Eve in a Bedouin tent.
Oh.
This is fairly extreme.
Yeah.
It's high country travel. It's like a fancy travel provider.
I think you're
maybe I am one of these people.
No.
I'm so ashamed.
I wish I had known that you were going to
eat. I'm so ashamed. But they're not that young. I mean,
no,
I think they're high school and junior high school age.
This is good.
You know, when I was in sixth grade, we went to Europe. My dad, who was a professor, did like a geologic thing. He lectured a few. We spent the whole summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would drive around, but we took a boat over the SS United States. We took the Queen Mary, the old original Queen Mary, back. It was her second to last voyage. I was in between fifth and sixth grade, but I will never forget it. And it gave me a lust for travel, an appreciation of boats. I love ships now. I don't know. I must have been 10. No, I must have been older than that, 11. So.
Yeah, I think that it's...
This was an extreme.
At your age. I mean,
at your age
of kids.
At my age.
Your age.
I'm
your
ready
kids
for
age. I think they're
exciting
ready.
Vacation.
Plus, yeah. I mean, this is the younger kids. And you don't... Do you have to
You know what's interesting is Disney's doing this.
Oh, yeah. Maybe that's the...
You go to the Rainforest Cafe. They say, I like the birds. I like macadamia nuts.
As long as you guys don't eat at McDonald's when you're in Egypt.
Ooh.
Can you promise
me
that?
No, I promise you we won't do that.
All right. Maybe I was too quick to judge the adventure trips for kids.
Well,
you
depends
report
the
back.
Age. I'll report back.
Yeah.
It's hideously expensive.
Yeah.
Well, imagine you're going to Egypt. Four people going to Egypt.
Yeah.
And you know, there's they have to charter planes to get to some of these sites because you can't just, you know, get out and walk.
Yeah.
That's the desert.
And it's not just your family. You're going with several families.
It's a group of 60 people.
Oh, that's
a group. I'll tell you all about it.
Okay.
I may come back and be one of those people who says, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Or
it's
you
a
might
waste.
Say it's the... Yeah, we'd have to ask Abby and Henry
I know.
20 years from now.
Jennifer
too.
And I will enjoy it.
Yeah.
And you're right. The kids, you can ask them then, but they may not.
Yeah.
But it's hope something. You know, I think I am guilty of this because now this I didn't have to pay for, but we did a geek cruise to the Baltic. Henry, when he was 10, has been to St. Petersburg, yeah. Estonia. I took him to see the Berlin Wall. You know, he got a piece of rock from the Berlin Wall. And he was excited about it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's somewhere in his room.
Yeah. But
I think that gives you, yeah. I think maybe not now, but maybe in a few years he'll have some sense
yeah.
of that.
Yeah, I think the problem that I had with just people using it as sort of status.
The show off. Show off where we're going. Yeah. Yeah. No, I haven't told anybody we're going to Egypt.
Well, now you've told everyone.
Okay.
Okay, I got one more link before we move on to the interview. This I found on Dad's Smacker.
This is the funniest thing I ever saw.
And this has been traveling around the internet
for
a while.
This is from Offsprung, which is that great site that we talked about a while ago with Neil and Ben.
Yeah, this is a picture of a woman pushing a baby stroller, but she's riding on a Segway.
Oh, my God.
Riding on a Segway, pushing a baby stroller. You got to go to our site and look at this picture.
It is pretty amazing. And you know what's interesting about it? It looks like she's crossing a 4-lane freeway.
Yeah.
That's got to be L.A.
It's Seattle, I think.
Seattle.
Yeah. Someone just saw this out their window, or they claimed to have just seen this out their window and taken the picture. It's just, I don't know.
Wow.
I don't know if I approve of this.
It's a little baby, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
That scares me, actually.
Right.
To see that.
I mean, some people have commented that maybe, you know,
it was a publicity stunt.
Maybe, yeah. But, or maybe she has some kind of, you know, handicap or something.
Tourette's.
But
maybe she's just a crappy mom.
I don't know. Standing up on a Segway. So I don't think really that if it were a wheelchair, that would be something. But, yeah, this is just, it's too much for me. The Segway pushing babies.
Wow.
So, yeah. Yes. So
wow,
go look at
that's
it and then
amazing.
Come back and discuss.
yeah. I'm putting that on my Tumble log too.
Yeah.
That is unbelievable.
So you can see that on Leo's Tumble. You're at
tumbleleo.com. You're doing your Tumble log.
Yeah, jumpymonkeys.tumblr. No E. So yeah, all the links that I find are
yeah,
there.
So you could see it there. Yeah.
Okay, so I have some listener mail, but I think we should go to the interview first.
Good. Let's do the interview, and then we'll get to your letters.
Well, Tracy, thanks for coming on. Now, you work for Cafe Mom, and you do everything from product management to copywriting. Are you the only one that works there?
No. We started with about 5 people, and we have a slightly bigger team now. We have around 10 people working on it. But, yeah, we all kind of do a little bit of everything just to get it up and running and getting better every day.
Were you a mom first or a webmaster first?
I was a webmaster first, but Cafe Mom and my baby came almost at the same time.
That's bad timing.
Yeah, we started planning Cafe Mom in the beginning of October, and I was due the middle of November. So I spent, you know, the last couple of weeks of my pregnancy really figuring out what Cafe Mom was and starting to help build it. And then my son came 2 weeks early. So I missed out on that last frantic development period, but I was a mom by the time it launched. So that was pretty cool to start using it as a mom and be home and kind of be a user before I was back on the back end again.
Jennifer used all her prepartum energy to paint a room and do a crib. You set up a website.
Right, yeah. It's organized because of your severe nesting instinct.
We still have, she decaled a garbage pail, and we still have it just as a symbol of you do get this mad energy right before you have a baby,
yeah,
don't you?
You do, and it was actually probably really good because I got to take all that energy and really put it into something and not spend the time, you know, worrying and,
exactly,
you know, and getting really nervous for the birth part. It just kind of, you know, happened so quickly that it...
So why don't you describe a little bit about what Cafe Mom is?
Sure. We're a social networking site for moms. So we're a platform to enable moms to make connections with one another so they can make connections through photos, through journals. They can start groups based on their interests, and they can join groups. They can search for moms. So we're really providing a way for moms all around the country and the world to make, you know, strong connections and talk to each other.
That's great. So you guys have been around just since fall of 2006?
Yeah, we launched in November.
Your brand new baby.
Mm-hmm.
Is the site sleeping through the night yet?
We don't want it to sleep through the night.
I wish my son would sleep through the night.
The site stays away.
It'll come in time, right?
So I like it. Right in the front, you can find moms by age, mm-hmm. by screen name, by locale, which is kind of nice. So you can type mm-hmm. in your zip code. I think all right. three of those are very useful.
Yeah, I've been using Cafe Mom for a few weeks. A friend of my sister's recommended it, and I signed up, and it was really great. And I connected with you and Tracy. You suggested that I create a group for mm-hmm. Jumpy Monkeys listeners, and I did that. I haven't promoted it yet, but yeah, but I'll link that from jumpymonkeys.com. So it's, you know, if moms want to go there and talk about the show or talk about parenting or anything, they can sign up and you know, have some conversations with other listeners, which are bound to have, I think, you know, things in common if you're listening. I also joined, there's a Geek Moms group. I joined that too, and that's been interesting.
The groups are great because they're really, I mean, at this point, you can pretty much find a group for anything. You know, there's a lot of groups around parenting. Like, I'm in a group for October 2006 moms, so that's where I kind of go for my, you know, parenting time and to make sure my son's meeting his milestones at the same time the other kids are, and to kind of ask questions for, you know, other moms with kids the same age. But then, you know, I'm in a group for fans of Lost, the TV show.
That's
and,
great.
You know, there's everything. There's even like a World of Warcraft moms group. Kind of everything's covered.
So are you finding that people are using it more for meeting other people online that they would never actually, you know, that just, that are somewhere across the country or across the world, or are they using it more to meet people in their area?
I see both. I've seen a bunch of moms meet people in their area and then end up going out on, you know, play dates with them and, you know, posting back about meeting them in person. But yeah, then the groups and stuff, you know, it doesn't really matter where you're at. It's just sort of, you know, you have something in common, and location's one thing you can have in common and one way to make a connection, but it's definitely not the only way that moms are connecting.
By the way, not only is there a World of Warcraft mom site, there's also a Widows of Warcraft for, for moms whose husbands won't stop playing. There are only 5 members of that one. So. There's a lot more in the World of Warcraft moms.
That's good. So
moms who hate WoW, wives against Warcraft, WoW Widows. Good Lord.
Do you think that, you know, there's also a group in, you know, on a dad site for Cafe Mom Widows?
That would be good.
It's very possible. You know, the moms using our site are very dedicated to the site. They're spending a lot of time on it. You know, we had, unfortunately, had a little bit of downtime one morning this week, and you know, we posted, you know, explaining what had happened, and we got so many comments from moms like, oh my
good.
God, I was so worried. Like, you know,
that's
you're my
great.
Lifeline. I need you. So
that's really good when they're hooked on you like that. That's
yeah.
great. Yeah. That's a
yeah.
nice feeling.
It's
you
a great feeling.
I mean, considering you're only, what, 8 months old, 9 months old, mm-hmm. there's a lot of people on here. How did you get the word out?
So when we launched, we're owned by the same company that owns Club Mom. So we were able to leverage clubmom.com membership a little bit to kind of jumpstart things. And once you get it kind of a critical mass, it just kind of takes off. You know, we are doing some online marketing. But really we're relying on moms to tell their friends, and, you know, kind of keep growing the site for us.
It's really cool. I'm looking at the pictures. There's lots of fun pictures on here too.
So I was browsing through my zip code the other day, and I found a post that I found a little bit disturbing, and maybe I'm just overreacting. It was someone who had posted, my husband and I are going out of town tonight for the first time, leaving our daughter with...
Here's where we live.
Yeah. Well, it was her picture and, you know, a zip code, which is, you know, you can sort of narrow down people right. to, you know, and this woman also posted pictures of her kids. And so I just wonder if you have any advice for moms who might not, this might be one of their first.
I should point out that you can't, unless you're a member of Cafe Mom, you can't see these postings.
Right.
So there's, you know, it's not like it's right out there in the real world.
Yeah. And I was actually discussing this with my husband, and he was like, well, you take risks anywhere. You take risks when you take kids to the park, you know.
When you all get in the car with your suitcases and drive off. There could be somebody across the street watching, right?
Right? So, but I guess I just, you know, some moms, I'm guessing this might be their first, you know, foray into Web 2.0 and social networking. So what kind of advice would you have for those moms?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's two pieces. There's an actual safety piece. And I think a lot of it's common sense, you know, and those of us have been using the web for a long time kind of know these things by heart, but, you know, don't post your address, don't post your phone number, don't post your social security number, your credit cards. For kids, I probably wouldn't post, you know, the name of the school my kids go to, things like that. But I think that where it's fuzzier is kind of a comfort issue, is how much are you comfortable with strangers knowing about your life? And I think for each person, that's going to be a little bit different. I post photos of my son. I post his name. I'm comfortable with that. I live in a big city. I live in Brooklyn. So I'm not posting, you know, about living in a town with 1,000 people or something where people could really figure out who I am. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of, you have to assess your own risk level that you're comfortable with, and kind of take it from there. And I think anything you post, you have to know that anybody might read it. So I think where it gets kind of sticky is when you're kind of posting about maybe your mother-in-law or something, and there's a chance she's going to come back and read it, and you have to be prepared for that when you're posting that.
So posts on Cafe Mom, do you have to be a member to read those, or are they searchable, you know, through Google or?
Everything you post, you have privacy options. So every journal post, you can make it available totally publicly, only to your friends, or you can post anonymously. Mm. And we've really set it up so pretty much everything in your profile, you have those options to only have your friends see it or to make it public. So when you're posting your kids' information, maybe you want your friends to be able to see your kids' names, but you don't want strangers to be able to see that. So you can choose that only your friends are going to see their names, and control it, you know, down to pretty much everything on your profile. You have that level of control, so you can really customize what you're comfortable with showing.
That's really helpful.
Do you find a lot of moms on here doing their first journal, online journal?
Definitely. I kind of feel like we're kind of bridging the gap between kind of the people who grew up on MySpace. And there are a lot of moms who grew up using MySpace or Facebook. They're really comfortable with this kind of technology.
And how old are they? 18?
Some of them.
Oh, wow. Grew up, maybe. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess so. I mean, it's a whole nother, a live journal certainly has been around 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're very comfortable with this technology and they get it right away. And then you've got an older generation of moms who aren't. And this is their first foray into journaling, or, you know, it's really blogging. We're calling it journaling. It's their first time using a social network. And so we really had to keep that in mind when we were designing the site, to try to make it really simple to use, so that from no matter what your level of knowledge was with being online, that you're going to kind of come here, you're going to get it, and you're going to be able to start using it right away.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Do you think a lot of your users have other social networks that they participate in, or is this kind of the focus of what they're doing right now?
They definitely participate in other social networks. There's groups for, you know, the MySpace moms and the Facebook moms. So this is sort of a... some of them have switched over and Cafe Mom's their main social network now. Some are using them both. So it's interesting. You know, we've kind of narrowed down who you're talking to here. So you kind of get the mom perspective. But a lot of people have friends on the other networks, so they're still going to use those.
Right. It is true, though, that being a mom focuses you quite a bit on parenting issues, mm-hmm. At least for the first few years. So I could see that this might become your main focus on the net.
I think it'll be really interesting, because I know a lot of moms my age and older, they fear social networking sites because that's what their kids are using, and they don't understand it.
Right.
So it'll be really interesting to have moms that are growing up using them.
They're afraid of mom predators? I hope not.
Yeah, but there has been so much negative publicity,
true.
In the news about social networking that, you know, privacy controls was one of our, you know, main things that we thought about when we were setting this up, is, you know, there are a lot of moms out there afraid of connecting online, afraid of putting any personal information out there. So we really thought about, you know, privacy controls and making sure that they had what they needed to feel secure when they're online.
Right. Now, one of the complaints I've heard recently about Web 2.0 things is that it's encouraging people to find other people that are exactly like them.
Instead of,
you know, reaching out, they're just saying, okay, well, you know, you believe the same things I do. I'm just going to only, you know, make my network just you. And it's closing people up to other ideas. Do you find that on Cafe Mom?
I think there are groups where people, you know, you can go find your like-minded people. What I find interesting are reading the journal posts where they're kind of put out to the community at large and seeing all the different perspectives. I really feel like we've kind of got a really nice cross-section of moms across the country. And, you know, I live in a very liberal community. It's very, you know, like breastfeeding organic foods, like that's the norm here. And it's really nice for me to see that, like, it's okay that I didn't feed my son, you know, organic peaches today, and that's not even on the radar for, you know, for other people. And I think getting those broad perspectives is great. And I think you get a little bit of both of that here, which is good for all of us, because we all need to kind of get out of our comfort zone and kind of make sure we see the world at large and not just our little world.
Some people who don't like social networking say, oh, it's a thin replacement for actual contact, you know, and but I guess when, you know, especially when you're early parenting, you don't get out much. We did as many baby groups as we could, and that was great, but there's a lot of times you're kind of stuck there, and it's nice to have at least some adult input, even if it's just over the computer.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I made a lot of those nice human connections when I was home on maternity leave, but it's really hard to keep them up once you go back to work. I don't get to see those moms I met anymore. Oh, they meet during the week. Yeah. I'm at work. This is my, you know, support system is coming online. I don't get it in real life. So it is a substitute, but I think it's one that a lot of us really need.
And then if you want to meet people face to face, there is that option too. You know, there's so many users, you're going to find people in your area. I was surprised at how many I found in mine.
That's neat.
Yeah, definitely. Like I'm in a group for Brooklyn moms, and they're organizing a play date next week in the park. So, you know, that's really nice that I can kind of take these online relationships and take them offline. And the fact that it's, you know, there's no real safety concerns for me because it's a big group of people. We're meeting in a park, and it's nice to be able to take that and do it in real life, not just online.
So your son's only 8 or 9 months old. When he in about 10 years, he's going to want to get on MySpace or whatever the MySpace is 10 years from now. What are you going to do about that?
It's a good question. It's hard to think beyond the next.
I know. You don't have to worry about it for a long time. You know, my kids use MySpace and it's fine. I mean, I kind of keep an eye on them. Abby's moved to Facebook. Henry's on MySpace.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's education, you know, making sure that he understands how to be safe, giving, you know, and then at some point, you know, you got to trust him. And hopefully if I can give him the right information and the right foundation, he'll be able to make the right decisions when he's online.
Mom designs social networks. I don't know if he's going to really be able to stay. Although it's funny because you'd expect my kids to be real computer geeks growing up surrounded by this stuff, and they have no interest really. Yeah. I mean, they use it, but they're not, they don't consider it their thing.
Yeah. Right now, my son's favorite toy is the MacBook. So
Uh-oh.
We might be going down that path.
Do you have one of those things that you can put on the key? It's like software. We talked about it. You can put it on the keyboard and they can bang on whatever and it doesn't do anything to you.
No, I don't have that. I need that.
Yeah.
I'll have to look that up after the show.
Yeah, well, it's a link that we have on our site. Yeah. Although it doesn't protect the MacBook. I have to point out the physical hardware is not protected by drool.
Yeah.
Or hammering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or cracking of the screen, which I've experienced.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Which, who cracked your screen?
Milo or Huck. Just a lot of poking on the screen a laptop. It's not a Mac, so.
Oh, who cares then? That's the one Microsoft gave you. Who cares?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fine.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy, for being on, especially with such a young child. I know how busy you are as a full-time mom, too. So, but it was fun.
I'm happy to be on. I love your podcast.
Oh, thank you. Well, we love Cafe Mom. I'm really impressed by this. I wonder if there's a Cafe Dad.
There's not yet, but we do get inquiries once in a while.
Yeah.
Dads are allowed.
Actually, no. We really have a mom's only policy. We try to keep it that way.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not sure dads would connect in the same way. It's an interesting question if men would dig this kind of thing in the same way.
I gotta say, I don't think Gebhardt, mother of two kids, is well. I don't know. I mean, he could be just a very unattractive woman. I'm just looking at his profile right now. That's a guy.
Maybe that's the mom.
It could be her husband or something.
Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. So your husband could right. have a profile.
Like
on
you
there.
Could put, yeah.
Well, no, it could be her avatar picture, right. though. She could, you know.
Okay.
For whatever reason, want her husband.
Okay. Leo's trying to out a dad who snuck into Cafe Mom.
I think there's
mom.
A dad in there. But, you know, there are a lot of single dad, you know, single parent dads who are responsible for, not a lot, but right. I mean, there are some.
Oh, yeah. And there's mm-hmm. they have their spaces.
That's too. True. This is, they're not moms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's okay.
I think it's fine. Thank you so much, Tracy.
All right. Thank you guys, too.
What a great site. All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye.
And that was Tracy O'Dell from Cafe Mom.
That was interesting.
And I think that actually, now that I look at this Gebhardt, it's probably that's her husband and a child,
right.
not her.
And you just use, yeah, use.
She just used picture. That as her picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But it would be cool if some, you know, dad was trying to scale the walls of Cafe Mom.
Not because he just wanted to hit on moms, because he's a mom.
Right.
He's a dad who's, he's not a mom. He's a dad, but he wants to be. In a mom's group. I was in a mom's group and I felt very uncomfortable.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Yeah, I think it's fine to have for moms to have their own space, and it's fine for dads to have
their own good
space.
To have a mom's space.
Yeah.
And I would have gone to a dad's group had there been one, but right. there wasn't one. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the problem. If you're a dad raising kids, there's not a lot of support.
Right, exactly.
But now there's jumping monkeys.
Yes, and we've had a lot of feedback. You want to hear some of the
yeah.
emails I've been getting?
I'd love to, yeah.
This email is from Rocco, and he's talking about a few episodes ago, we talked about Abby getting her nose pierced.
Yes.
We were talking to Alternidad. You were asking for
yes.
his advice. And I think he said for you to take her with you. That's what he recommended. So Rocco, he...
When I get my nose pierced, take her with me?
No. Didn't you say... I think he said that you go with her.
Oh, I'll go with her.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Oh,
that's
well,
what
I certainly wouldn't let her do it on her own.
But he says, as someone that used to be a professional body piercer, everyone in my old shop used to hate it when some parent brought their child in to get a piercing. While this
Why?
Doesn't apply to all teenagers, most of them aren't mature enough to do what it takes to get care of the piercing. And more often than not, those same kids came back in for advice on taking care of the infections.
Later.
Yeah.
Huh.
So I think you were right in your decision. You're still holding fast to that decision.
Yeah, and she's kind of lost interest. I
yeah.
Think.
Good point.
Well, either that or she's realized that we're not going to change, so
yeah.
she's given up. But yeah, I know it grows back. It's not like a tattoo, which
yeah.
is permanent. I know it grows back, but I just I don't know. That's just something I'm uncomfortable with.
Yeah, so. It's okay.
It's okay for a parent to be uncomfortable.
Exactly. I got an email from Natalie in Seattle. She says she likes the show. She found it when she subscribed to the Radio Leo list on
Thank
iTunes.
Thank you for subscribing to that.
She wasn't too sure she would like it, but she said that we give perspective on things she doesn't have otherwise, and it makes it easier to relate to the issue my brother-in-law has with his kids, because Natalie doesn't have kids.
Oh, yeah.
She's chosen not to have kids.
Yeah. So. You don't have to be a parent to listen to this
no.
podcast.
And I think we should find a geek aunt or uncle to interview. And,
aunties
you know.
Are very important.
Yes.
And unclies.
Yes, exactly.
Are very, I don't think there is an unclies, but there are aunties. That I know that, for instance, we went out back east for my reunion in June, and I took Abby with me, and she stayed with her aunt, my wife's sister, Anne. And a couple of things happened. One, she was in the back seat when Anne got in a fight with her daughter, at roughly Abby's age, a year younger, over something. Her daughter was mad because they looked at her homework. She brought home a homework assignment, and they read it and said how good it was. And she got upset, and which is exactly what Abby had done a couple of weeks earlier. She said, I thought it was the same family. They were having the same argument with the same words. It was really good perspective for her. And then she said, Anne's just like mom, but I can talk to her.
Oh.
So Annie's are really important.
Yeah.
I think that that is a very important role.
Yeah.
It's an adult that you can talk to who's in your family,
right.
but isn't your parent.
Yeah. Yeah. So thanks for the kind words, Natalie in Seattle. This is from Mike.
But Mike?
This is from Mike. But
you just threw the butt in?
There's There's something in there that I'm not sure what it is. You're going to have to help me out.
Okay.
My children are old enough that I remember buying a mouse for my 8088-based PC.
Wow.
Is that the way you say that? 8088. What's an 8088-based PC?
That's the original IBM PCs back in 1981-82 vintage.
So they could learn math from Sesame Street.
Wow.
Now, he says, I wonder whether the modern parent has forgotten that grandparents can be a great source of information. Your podcast so far is focused on the new sources and seemingly ignoring the tried and true sources of the earlier ages.
Good point.
Yes.
He could tell her all about fixing DOS problems, mm-hmm. what to do when your autoexec.bat won't boot.
Mm-hmm.
Really important things. No, of course, so, grandparents are important. We know that.
Yes, I know. So if anybody has any of that advice that they would like to pass on, email me at megan@twit.tv.
And there are lots of digital grandparents.
Yes.
We should use a captcha for that.
Yeah.
Megan, at twit.tv.
Exactly.
So if you were a spammer, you wouldn't be able to understand that.
Yeah.
But a human would know that it's megan@twit.tv. Oh. Dang.
Well, that's all the mail that I have. I've gotten a lot more, and we're going to be reading it on shows, but we wanted to keep this a little bit short.
I love the mailbag. Keep it going. You could see many of the links we talk about, sometimes even ahead of time, at jumpingmonkeys.tumblr.com.
But you have to promise to listen even if you see the links ahead of time. Okay?
I think they'll want to.
Promise?
Yeah, promise. Okay. Promise. And Megan's blog is jumpingmonkeys.com. And her new book will be out sometime in the spring of 2020. If you were to write, because you're a great writer, fiction or nonfiction, if you were going to do it for like a book, if you were like going to sit down and write something?
Well, I think fiction. I mean, if I had the choice.
Do you have a novel in your drawer?
It's in the bottom drawer. I wrote it when I was 22.
Really?
It's horrible. It's going to stay in the drawer.
But you didn't throw it out.
No. It's
Has
in the
Marco
file.
Read
it's
in
the
it?
File. Yeah. A lot of my dad read it.
What'd they
of my
say?
Friends. Everybody gave me some good feedback. I think my dad was the only one who was honest and just said, you know, this is kind of boring, or, you know, I can't remember exactly what he said, but that's just the way he is. In fact, even about this show, he said, you know,
kinda
he's
boring.
Liked it, but no, he didn't say it was boring. He said, it just runs a little long.
And well,
he
it
said,
did.
You know, and you know, that's coming from someone who would, you're my daughter and I would be happy to listen to you
right.
reading the phone book, but you know,
it does run a little long.
So we're going to try to keep it short, Dad.
Well, it's a little shorter this time than it's been.
Yeah, so we should shut up.
We're going to try. Yeah, we shouldn't. We're going to try to keep it around an hour. But we'd like to feedback on that, too, how long you'd like it. Mm-hmm. You got an interesting letter from a couple who said they listen together, and that's hard to listen to a really long one when you listen together. So maybe half an hour is the right length. We'll have to
figure
that
they
out.
Listen to it on the couch. I'd like to hear how people listen to it. I listen to podcasts, like, you know, running and when I'm cleaning the house. And, you know, so to me, like, I don't mind that it's being too long,
Well, we'd like to hear from you. Megan@twit.tv. We thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
I'm Jumping Monkeys.